reading to you from Luke, the 21st chapter, and with the 36th verse. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ. And you know, I've been making a mistake all these years, friends. I got to figure it up. It's my Christian birthday, the 15th, and I've been telling people that I'd be 56 years. It isn't. It's 55 years. So anyway, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Confess your faults one to another, the Bible said. Well, anyway, I want you to kick off your slipper, sit back, and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 21st chapter of Luke. I've labeled this, When Funds Get Low, How Is Your Faith? Reading to you in the first verse, 21st chapter of Luke. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all out of their surplus put in the offering, but she out of her poverty put it in all that she had to live on. Friends, listen, I've learned an awful lot over the years about giving and about faith. Now, I would like to tell you that Cecil Moe is a man of great faith. I would like to do that, but that wouldn't be right. I am a man of faith. I'm a man of prayer, and I believe that God hears and answers prayer, and I believe that he's concerned about everyone listening to this message tonight. Well, let's get to know this poor widow of Jerusalem. Now, there are many things about this lady we don't know, her age, her appearance, or the number of children. We don't know the reason for her husband's death. But one thing we do know, she was a woman of great faith and was very poor. Listen, friends, this woman was so poor, she couldn't pay attention. Oh, friends, listen. Me and my family were that way for many years of my early ministry. But I learned something while we were struggling. And I'm not saying this to let you think my halo's got too tight and I've got a headache. But many, many times in California, when I was going to Bible college, that we really were broke. And there would be a family in need, and we'd scrape up our last $30 or last $25 and go down and buy groceries for these people. And in turn, we would introduce those people to Christ. That is so important. Well, I told you about when I had that lung tumor that we had a deacon in our church. He was very poor. Him and his wife were poor. But did you know every other day that dear old deacon would bring a gallon of milk and two loaves of bread to our house? He actually kept us from starvation. Nobody in the church knew about his kindness, but God knew about it. And you know what, friends? The Bible said, he that gives to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Now, I believe that. Oh, I believe that at the bottom of my heart. Now, his commendation has caused her to be remembered down all through these years. Now, his commendation has, he commended her for her faith, and now we remember. When we die, I wonder what people will remember about us. I hope that I'm remembered as a man who loved the souls of men, and I hope I'm remembered as a people person. I can't imagine a man or a woman calling themselves a Christian and not being a people person. I know there are people who are bashful and not very outgoing. But you know what? When Jesus comes into our heart and our life, he changes us. Yes, he does. And the favor of Christ endureth, and the favor of the world passes away. The widow's faith took her to a place of worship. She was poor, and some might have found an excuse to stay away. Maybe they didn't think their clothes were good enough to go worship. Maybe there were too many wealthy people there. Maybe they would be ashamed to go when able to give a large gift. Many, many years ago, I was teaching a teenage class in our church, and I used to take them out on visitation on Saturday. And there was a place out there where poor people lived, and I said, let's go in this neighborhood. And I had about, 10 teenagers with me. And this one girl said, I know this girl over here. She goes to our school, and they're very poor. In fact, they're so poor that she even has to wear flip-flops to school. Well, we visited her, and we told her about our church and how much we loved her. And we invited her to come to church that next Sunday. Well, I knew she didn't have no shoes and didn't have any fancy clothes. And I said, you know what, kids? Why don't we all wear flip-flops to church Sunday? So, do you know what? She said she'd come to our church. And did you know we had the privilege of introducing that young teenager to Christ on the front porch of our church? While on the subject of poor people, let me tell you about a story about a place in Seattle, Washington. I received a call to come and supply in a church 2 services on a Sunday. Well, I preached the morning service, and my topic was knowing that you were going to heaven. Well, after the service, there was a lady in her early 70s came up to me and said, Preacher, I do not agree with you. And I asked her why. She said, I've been going to church for years. In fact, I taught Sunday school, and I don't know I'm going to heaven. She said, this afternoon, would you and your wife come pay me a visit? I said, we sure would. When we got to her place, she was rocking back and forth in the rocking chair a mile a minute. I could tell she was really upset. I said, ma'am, I know that I'm going to heaven because I repented of my sins, confessed to the Lord that I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and invited Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Well, she did not think that she was a sinner. That's nothing. Neither did my wife believe she was a sinner. Well, after I received Christ as my personal Savior, after sitting under the gospel for 3 months, God's Holy Spirit assured her she was a sinner. Then she, too, accepted Christ. After reading many scriptures to this lady, I asked her if she would like to put her trust in Christ, and she answered yes. She told me this was the first time that she'd ever visited this church. She said, you know what, preacher? It was Saturday night, last night. It was raining cats and dogs, and she lived in a pretty tough neighborhood. And she said, it was about 10 o'clock in the evening. I received a knock at my door. And so she said, I went to the door and pulled back the blind and the curtain to see who was out there. And she said, here stood a little 10-year-old girl, no raincoat. Her hair was plastered to her head. I opened the door and I said, honey, what do you want? And she says, ma'am, we have a visiting preacher Sunday, and I wonder if you'd like to come to church with me. She said she would. So this little girl came by the next morning to walk her to church. Well, after we prayed and this woman accepted Christ, she said, well, I'll be there tonight. And I preached that night, and this little old lady came forward and made her profession of faith and said she wanted to be baptized and join the church. Not that baptism has a thing to do with her salvation, but it unites them to our church as an act of obedience. I whispered to her and asked her, is that little girl here tonight? And she said, she is. She's sitting in the fifth row. Well, I had noticed this girl in the morning service, and she kept her little hands folded in her lap. I thought it was unusual. She never moved a muscle through that half-hour sermon. And I asked the little girl to come and stand with this lady, being she was the one responsible for coming to church. When the little girl started down the aisle, I noticed she had club feet. She had a hole about the size of a tennis ball in her dress. It was obvious this little girl was real, real poor. Well, I had her stand sideways so that people could not see the hole in her dress. I said, this little girl puts me to shame. She went out in a rainstorm and invited this lady to church. Well, this little old lady hugged that girl and they cried together. We found out later that the little girl's parents forbid her to come to church after she was saved. And they said she was crazy and they wanted to give her up because of Jesus. Well, my friends, God is always there when there's a need. There was a wealthy woman in that church, and she adopted this little girl, had her feet operated on, and that she could walk as good as you and I. The last thing I heard about this little girl, that she was the best soul winner that church ever had. Don't that put you and I to shame? We won't even go out and visit with people when the sun's shining. Oh, I know pastors that will not visit. And I'll tell you, my friend, you show me a church where the pastor did not visit, I'll show you a dead, dying church. And it'll never grow until God gets a hold of somebody that'll care enough to go out and visit. Well, some people worked hard that week and were too tired to go to church. Boy, I'm having a throat problem tonight. Rich people had not contributed to this widow's needs. She was poor. Ah, but beloved, she was rich in faith. Her shortage in funds didn't keep her from the temple. Now, the widow's faith gave her... this widow's faith gave her the faith to give. And we see here in my stars, I lost 21:2, it says, and there was a certain poor widow putting in 2 small copper coins. Friends, listen, I can kind of relate to that in a way. You say, how? Well, every Sunday morning after I joined our church, when the offering tray was passed, I would reach in my pocket and I'd put out my trusty $1 bill, and you've heard this before, but I'd put it in the offering and thinking, well, I'm helping paying the pastor's salary and I'm helping missionaries. Man, I wasn't doing nothing. Well, one Sunday, this is funny, one Sunday I reached in my billfold to put out my faithful $1, and all I had was the smallest bill was a $5 bill. Man, I'm caught. I've got to give. But I gave that $5 bill, and I gave it reluctantly. Oh, my. And I told my wife on the way home, did you know I gave the church $5 this morning? And she laughed and she said, well, maybe God was teaching you a lesson. Well, our pastor was teaching a class on baby Christians, new Christians. And he was teaching on, well, first of all, he taught about why we were to be baptized and why we would take the Lord's Supper. And he said we ought to be tithers. Well, that bothered me real bad. I wasn't willing to accept that. I just wasn't willing to accept it. But, you know, I began to read the Bible and all the scriptures that the pastor gave me. And I told my wife, I said, I think it's time that I start giving to our church. Well, it wasn't long that I remember I put it to test, and I didn't really know I was doing this, but we only had $30 in the bank, and my tithe was $10 this particular week. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I hate to give that $10 because we only got $30 in the bank. She said, well, why don't you just pray and ask the Lord what to do? So I went in my office and I sat down and I said, now, Lord, I'm only got $30 and $10 would really shorten us up. But, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And it was just as real. I sat down and I wrote a check out for $10. Now, just before we walked out of the church, out of the house to go to church, I get a phone call. And this man said, Cecil, he said, about 2 or 3 months ago, you were over here at our place, and you gave us an estimate on our roof. And while we were eating breakfast this morning, my wife said, you know what? I think we ought to have Cecil come over and put this roof on. Can you do it? Will you do it for the price you said? I said, sure. I said, when can you get started? I said, is tomorrow too soon? And my stars. But see, God gave me proof that he doesn't lie. He said, I will pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. There's too many Christians who have their hand caught in the cookie jar. They don't want to give. They want the blessings of the Lord. They want the blessings of their church, but they don't want to give. Well, I'll tell you, if you're one of those Christians, I really feel sorry for you, beloved. No, I'm not raking you over the coals. I just want you to do one thing. I want you to pray. Lord, it's right now we're in a tight. We really are financially in a tight. But your word says that if we give and are obedient, that you pour out a blessing. Lord, show me how we can do it. Now, here's the thing, beloved. I can only assure you what the Bible says, but the thing is, the 90% that's left will go much further than if you kept the whole 100%. I don't know. I can't explain it. No, I cannot. But it does work. And then one time I decided I was going to hold out, and I did. And guess what happened? Had to buy a new tire from a truck. See, every penny this poor widow has was needed for her living. Some would have said, let the wealthy do the giving. Years ago, one of my prayer warriors on my radio broadcast died, little black lady, one of the most faithful prayer warriors. She passed away, and I mentioned her on my radio broadcast and told my friends that she had died. I get a phone call from this little lady. She said that she'd like to take her place. So one time, she was 80 years old. One time she called me and she said, Cecil, are you going to be in Denver today? Which I really hadn't planned. I said, well, I could be. She said, would you come by? I want to see you. And I'd never met her before face to face. So I went in there. This little old lady was in a little old house, clean as could be. She invited me in. She hugged me and she said, I listened to your broadcast and I pray for you 3 or 4 times a day. And then we had a cup of coffee. And then, you know what she did? She went in and came out and brought $50 out and put it on the table. And from me, I said, what's this? She said, the Lord told me to give this to your ministry. I said, I can't accept this. She said, the Lord told me to do it, Cecil, and you do it. You do what the Lord told me to do. And I said, okay. Then she brought out some carrots. I said, what's this for? She said, this is for your Burl Gilbert. Every once a month she'd call and she'd have me come by and pick up $50 and carrot for my... Now, this little lady was precious. I preached her funeral, and it was the greatest funeral because I knew this dear little old sister. What a giving lady she was. She could have used that $50. Well, this widow considered giving an act of worship to the Lord. She couldn't give much, but that was her give, her living that she was giving away. She gave two mites, two small copper coins. Well, her gift must have seemed insignificant to the rest of the folks that was there. Oh, but friends, she wanted to do something for the Lord. Now, the widow's faith caused to give all that she had. Listen, friends, Jesus saw this as the largest gift of the day. I preached a revival in the second largest church in Dallas, Texas. And did you know there was, I think, 10 millionaires in that church? Now, this is going to shock you. It was a fabulous big church, huge, beautiful church. And off to the side, hooked onto the side of that church, was a small church, small chapel that maybe would seat 100 people. And the poor people, yes, the poor people went to that church. But I will say one thing for that large church. They had a place there that they give food and clothing to those needy people. But they never thought they were good enough to go to that fancy church. Boy, oh boy. After I went to Skid Row one night when I got rolled and I went to this mission church, I came home that night and my wife, I said, let's go to church tomorrow. We went to this big fancy schmancy church over in about a mile from our place. Boy, the people were fit dressed where they dressed. Diamonds and furs. Nobody spoke. Anyone could tell we were poor. And only one spoke to me, and that was the pastor on the way out. And he said, did you assign the visitors? Yes, I said, I did. But nobody ever came to our church, and I never went back. I never went back. And I've tell these men and women in prison, I hate to tell you this, but I said, there's many churches that will not accept you if you go because you're a convict. Well, he said she gave more than the rest. God measures our gifts by our ability to give. The others gave part of their wealth, but the widow held nothing back. Faith still moved her to give all that she had. Faith giving is revealed by what we keep. Oh, listen. I remember one time the Lord told me to give a man all I had. And I had $3 in my pocket. He was a cripple and he had to get medicine. And that's what his medicine cost. God will speak to your hearts if you let him. There was a message on a gravestone in England. What I spent, I had. What I saved, I lost. What I gave, I have. God is a giver, a great giver, and he gave his only begotten Son. He gives eternal life to those who receive Christ. Faith received God's good gift. But listen, faith gives God even when funds are low. Have you given Jesus your sins so he can save you? Bible said, he that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. Friends, listen to me. Listen. You say, Cecil, tonight I have a terrible tugging at my heart. Is it because you're lost? Is it because your life has been spent wrong? Now Jesus said, come to me, and I won't cast you out. So if you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life and invite Christ into your heart, bow your head to me right now. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm repenting. I'm turning my back on the old way of life and inviting Jesus in to be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. All friends, listen. This will be the greatest day of your life. Oh, I tell you, the Christian life isn't easy, but being lost isn't easy either. He said he'd be with us all through our lives. He'll direct us. He'll protect us. And you would have not because you ask not. Now look, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only care where you spend eternity. You give me a call if you feel I can help you. 303-471-8534. No, if you can't afford to call, call collect. I'll accept your call. I'm standing by my phone waiting for you now. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, beloved, for listening tonight. Oh, I know I shot a lot of rabbits tonight. Not a very great preacher. But my dear friends, I am so sincere when I tell you about Jesus. And I tell a lot of stories that I've experienced to let you know that there's someone else besides someone else that you know have experienced these things. No, I know life's rough, and I know some of you are going some trouble times. Well, look to Jesus. You have not because you ask not. Tell him what your needs are. Talk to him. Don't be afraid to come to him. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Well, listen, I want you to pray for my wife and I as we go to prison. Pray for our health. Our health is kind of bad, but oh, I don't care. I'd love to talk about Jesus. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.